Hello and welcome to The Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, from exclusive interviews with leading experts to a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes of research and innovation. I'm your host, Lauren Buchanan.
Hi there. My name is Dr. Raj Chovatiya. I'm a clinical associate professor at the Rosalind Franklin University Chicago Medical School and founder and director of the Center for Medical Dermatology and Immunology Research in beautiful Chicago, Illinois.
So what unique aspects or recent developments should dermatologists focus on when considering treatment or even for answers on board exams when it comes to AD?
So a lot has happened in atopic dermatitis, and you've probably heard me a time or two talking about on these airwaves itself. And so what are kind of the biggest things that have happened over the past few years? Well, we've had a bevy of medication approvals. There's a little bit of a lull now before another glut is going to come our way. So the one major thing that really getting familiar with is not the fact that we only have one biologic, but we have two biologics, hopefully three really soon, two oral JAK inhibitors, a topical JAK inhibitor, and then right on down the line within the next year, topical PDE4 inhibitor to join the previous topical PDE4 inhibitor we have, and then an AHR modulator slash agonist as well. So, you know, at AAD, I've had the pleasure of chatting about oral JAK inhibitors, kind of when and how do we take all this data from the past few years and incorporate that into our day-to-day practice. And I think that one of the challenges is it's almost like been drinking from a fire hose the past couple of years, given just the amount of analyses and posters and presentations. And so these days, what I'm spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to best educate on is how do you take all that information, get comfortable with it, and then take that big, boring prescribing information label in front of you and really translate that into a very quick hit of do's, don'ts, how, and when. And I think that that is probably the most important thing all of us can do with atopic dermatitis therapy now before it gets even more crowded in short order.
Obviously, since the last AAD meeting, the AAD guidelines on atopic dermatitis treatment have been updated. How does this change the landscape of your sessions, if at all?
Guidelines are always helpful for us that are seeing patients on a day-to-day basis to understand what you do when. Now, guidelines are not necessarily a strict rule book that are written in black and white. They do allow for some clinical flexibility, and there's a bit of gray. But the most important thing to take away from guidelines is that you have something to point to anytime there might be a question about a medical treatment, because they do a good job of compiling the evidence to date. So if you were to have some type of denial or delay in therapy, guidelines are really helpful to say, hey, look, this is what really smart people that practice, see patients, went through the literature, put down on paper as what I should be doing. So I'm really following the right plan. This doesn't necessarily change my educational approach at the academy meeting when it comes to thinking about atopic dermatitis, but rather I think gives me more confidence to talk about the treatment options that I'm educating upon, to say that these are backed up not only by my perception of evidence, but the perception and agreement upon a panel of others, as well as the literature itself.
Beyond atopic dermatitis, what other prevalent itchy skin conditions should dermatologists pay special attention to?
So oftentimes we have this adage, if it's red, if it's itchy, it's scaly, it's atopic dermatitis until proven otherwise. And, you know, that holds up sometimes just because AD is quite common. We think about it as affecting up to maybe about 10% of the entire US population at some point in their lives. But there are a lot of other conditions that can look like atopic dermatitis, sound like atopic dermatitis, but in fact are different conditions altogether. For instance, you can have a circumstance where seborrheic dermatitis, psoriasis, urticaria, contact dermatitis, regional eczemas, even genetic or nutritional conditions, immunobullous conditions that are non-blistering, or cutaneous lymphomas. All of these can look like atopic dermatitis and perhaps carry that misdiagnosis or mistreatment. So I think these are all key conditions to really understand in their own right, figure out how you build a broad differential diagnosis, and then understand what clinical clues and or elements of history would lead you down the right path. Now, even then, common things being common, we oftentimes are going to treat for atopic dermatitis or eczema until proven otherwise. So I think the other pearl is understanding when things are not responding the way they should, at what point you need to reevaluate and kind of visit the drawing board and make a new diagnosis.
And then is there anything else you'd like to add about your sessions or what you're looking forward to at AAD?
Every year, AAD gets more exciting and busier for all of us. And I think that this year is no exception. My favorite part of the meeting this year, beyond all of the cool stuff that I get to participate in and help educate my colleagues on, is the fact that we just have even more therapies coming for immunologic and inflammatory disease, a space which I love thinking about from a research, clinical, and educational standpoint. And just to even think a few years ago, how sparse some of these sessions might have seemed versus now, where you can't even fit people in the room to talk about a lot of these new therapies. And the fact that we're no longer just talking about topical steroids over and over again, we actually have real targeted therapeutic options. And to me, that's really this the most exciting glimpse into the future for dermatology.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos to podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.